gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. I am delighted to be joined by former Bohemian player and still current fan, I hope, Dano.
Yeah, still a big fan, yeah, Jordan.
And for the very last episode of One Up Top, and the way it's going at the moment on the pitch, it's very much roll the credits. There's no happy ending.
Yeah, it's from the start of the season, the way we started off, it's been very dull ending to it.
Yeah, I think we all went in, you know, April, 10 points clear at the top, giddy as fuck. How could we not see at least Europe being on the horizon? I think the stats were that we 7 wins out of first 10. I think we've had 8 wins in the last 24, 25 now, which is a fucking stark stat, as well as that one away win since the end of the 4 series of games, which is away to UCD. Really isn't good enough, and it's fucking serious in question the management, the coaching staff, and even the players now at this stage of the season. Since the last episode, I think we qualified for the FAI Cup final, but I don't think at this stage that really even comes into our thoughts. It's very much grim and misery at the moment. I don't know what you think, Dano, but the lock on Friday was another grim affair. Ever since our captain Keith Buckley's been out of the team, it looks like there's no bollocks in the team.
Yeah, it's been strange, to be honest, Jordan, with the standard of players they signed and brought in, obviously the ones that were there from last year, and the way we started this year has been really good, but I don't know what's gone wrong halfway through the season. Maybe I think I was out with UCD away this year, and I think it was 1-1 that finished, or 2-2?
I think it was 0-0, actually.
No, 1-1,
yeah.
And I said to myself, I'm never going to watch Bowls again. And
that's me every week.
that's actually, I brought my little three-year-old to his first game. That was his first game. And I said to me, a lovely evening out in the Bowl. It's usually a dull place to go, but I thought it was lovely out there that night. And pitch was lovely, and Bowls could have played good football. But that was the season summed up, really, the way it's gone now. That
probably was a turning point, really.
Yeah,
it fell flat on its face and stuff.
Yeah, ever since then. Now obviously the last away win was UCD away in April, as you said, but that UCD away draw, now that was the nail in the coffin for me this season.
Yeah, you have to look across the board, like even on the grand scheme of things, now the last couple of games Rovers probably stretched the leaders, but in the grand scheme of things, we're not that far behind the top of the table. Like, that's how poor the probably league's been. You know, you turn a couple of the results on their head against Rovers where they beat us. They're probably nearly floating around second, if not you're catching up with them. Which finishing sixth in a fucking poor league when you're that close to the top two was, it's just not good enough.
Yeah, geez, I was in teams that not nearly half as good as the players we have now, Jordan. And we just finished fifth, not many fair points off fourth. And you know what I mean? You're looking at that way, you know. The league has improved a lot and players have improved. But as you said, a few more goals, a few more chances taken. And some of the goals you conceded this year just weren't good enough. And as you said, you could have been up there. You know?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, a league title left behind. I think Pats are probably thinking the same. Higgins, I don't know how much longer he's going to last up in Derry now. Like, they've fell flat in the face in the cup. They're limp in the second place in the league as it stands. That's if they even get second place. If Pats go ahead and beat them the last game of the season, they'll probably come toward if they're lucky. If Shaz don't even catch them at that stage. But, no, it's very grim, and I suppose you were probably a little bit vocal last year when some players really weren't at it. You have a few pretenders and spoofers, but it looks like there's probably still one or two left in that squad now at the moment.
Yeah, it's been, as I said, it's been a weird season. As you said, you see Ali Coote, he was unbelievable. I think he got 2 player of the year. Player of the month, did he?
Start of the month, he got player of the month.
And I think he got injured against Rovers and wasn't seen for 2 months. And just gone off the face of the earth, and people talking he's gone, he's this and that, and then he's back in the squad, and he's probably been Bowes' best player over the last 3 or 4 weeks, in my opinion. And it's stuff like that, it's been a weird old season.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose even looking at the whole midfielders, like McDonald's in there, he's a workhorse, he's probably viewed as maybe another Booker, where he's more of an athlete and getting around and getting at people's feet than he is a technical footballer. He's yet to prove what's wrong on that front, and even Jordan Flowers are just fucking, I just haven't bought into him myself as a midfielder. I don't know, he's 26, 27, he should be one of the leaders in the team, and I just don't see him bringing it forward. like we're going out to the, speaking of later, but we're going out to the Aviva Stadium in a couple of weeks' time. And you know, you're looking for someone who's your bollocks in the middle of the field, like even the likes yourself who stepped in at times playing centre defensive mid, or even when Pico was playing there and Bucco was playing there now, you're just wondering like who's gonna be the one that gets picks to makes that tackle and drags us fucking 10-15 yards up the pitch.
Yeah, like as you said, like I remember doing commentary last game of the season, I think it was against Sligo at home last year, and there was talk of Paddy Kerr coming in and Adam McDonald. And in particular, I was really impressed with him last year. He was captain of Sligo some games and thought he'd be a real good sign. And he started off like a house on fire. I thought, is this going to be the sign of the year?
Yeah.
And I think I said that on one of the games I was commentating on. He was unbelievable, tackling, assisting goals. He was doing the basics well. And as you said, like it's just gone off halfway through the season. He's just, I don't know what's gone wrong. But do you question the coaching side of things? These players come in, they start off really well halfway through the season. Should they be kept on their toes? Is there stuff going on off the pitch? I don't know. And Flores, I wouldn't be too hard on Flores. He obviously, some of the tackles that, remember the one against Pats, it was, he got sent off. And some of his decision making, he's technically a really good player. He's a leader. He showed he's a leader at times. I wouldn't be too harsh on him. Overall, like, yeah, you can pick on him because he's a leader, but I think he's done okay. But as you said, who's going to stand up? And then there's another decision. Who's Keane Bourne playing centre half? Came on against Galway. Done really well. He played half a season at Longford. Done really well. You just leave Casper out. Now, I think Casper's been Bowes' best player this year consistently. Obviously, James Clark, he's been hit and miss at the start of the season. He's obviously played a lot recently since maybe June or July. But Casper consistently has been really good. And I think he just, Devine got a bite the bullet and put Keane Bourne in since he's got sent off. My opinion on Keane Bourne, I think he's better than Novak. Personally, he's better on the ball, he's better defensively. Obviously, Novak's experience, you can't beat, but his CV is really good. But I think Keane Bourne, I remember last year, there's been questions online about Keane Bourne. Is he going to be out there for the final and this and that? He hasn't played this much, but you look at the lad that played with Shelbourne last year, what was his name, the big centre-half?
Morris O'Driscoll.
No, Morris O'Driscoll.
It was Youngfield, sorry, what's his name? Youngfield?
No, there's another lad, Stefan Negru. I think he played two or three games up to the final, and I thought he was Shell's best player last year in that cup final, and there he is playing for Oxford, week in, week out, and stuff like that, and that's what happens in football. And please God, it happens to Keane Bourne in 2 weeks' time, that Aviva, if he starts.
It is a bit except, I think you're right there, I think, when people have been criticising the defence, I think they've probably, Novak's probably been the weaker one than Casper. I think Casper's been very good. I think people have just picked on them as a double, maybe because of how Polish, and people are just saying the two fucking Polish at the back aren't good enough. But I think Casper's next in football. I think he could end up playing centre defensive mid. Keane is fucking obviously going to have to step in. It was a question with Devine because of the fact that it was Casper suspended for the final and not Novak. It's like, well, do you play your best team and try make sure you confirm Europe, which obviously hasn't happened now, or do you just, well, you have not even roll the dice because Keane Bourne has to play in the Aviva, like that's the way it's going to be. And even then, you sort of worry, like, if anything happens to Novak or Keane Bourne, like, it's your man Lewis Holtzman who's only played against Usher this year that steps in. Like, it's,
but that's football, Jordan. What happened to me, I remember when I played, I got a phone call, Roy McAvoy got injured, and no one here who rang me and said, Dan, I'm putting you in. That was at like 3 o'clock. Playing against Rovers in the Dublin Derby in Dalymouth. Stuff like that happens. Yeah. I didn't play that much, but I got man the match that night. I think we beat them 1-0 in Dalymouth. Stuff like that happens, and as you said, Lewis Housman, he hasn't played. He played one game against us. If that means he comes in and he gets man the match, that's the way football works. And but as you were saying about the two Polish boys, Kasper and Novak, I think Kasper's been brilliant. And he's only on loan, isn't he?
I think we've the option to buy.
Oh, right. So I think they'd be 100% the boy. It was obviously Pat Fennin brought him in, didn't he? He was training him a few weeks. So be interesting to see which way it goes.
Yeah, and I suppose probably looking at it from the outside in, you've been in the system. It's obviously completely changed now in terms of it was basically either Callaghan signing players. It was little or no money. You were probably paying fucking subs when you signed back in 2012. And obviously it's completely changed now with the Devine there, Pat Fennin as football and director. Again, I'm not sure how it works. Like, Pat Fennin's footballing director, he's there put in the position to make the football decisions. So I assume the way it would work is if he was to get rid of, like, he didn't employ Devine. People have, like Pat Fennin did not employ Devine. Devine was a board decision.
Yeah.
Now, I think board will have final say in anything. Obviously, they'll sign off on it. But you just wonder, has Fennin got something else in the back of his mind that will come in and, you know, how that operates?
Me looking at it from the outside, I think Fenlon's the top dog in there, and that's just my opinion. I don't know, but that's the way it works. Is he's the football director of things that happen on the pitch as well, not just off it. That's, I think, the way it works, and you can't take that away from Pat, because it's a no-brainer what he's done in the game, and obviously he makes the decisions as well as Devine. But what happens on the training pitch, I don't know. Is Pat on the training pitch as well? I'm not sure. You obviously have your scouting system as well with Dave Henderson. He's head scout at Bowls as well. He's bringing in players, so these are all lads with great experience in the game, and not only here, it's abroad as well where they've worked.
Yeah, like a lot of people were having a go at Pat Fenn. Like, a lot of people rip Pat Fenn off, probably Devine as well, before they even done anything. I think for a manager, you probably have to give him 18 months at least. I think he inherited a lot of Long's players and he had the big turnover, but then again, a lot of his best players are Long signings. Afolabi, Clark, Coote at times this season.
Yeah, like there's, on the Bowl start, we talked about Bowl starting off in the house on fire. The way Devine was, I know the last two or three games he came in last year, the way he's so frantic on the sideline, he's so emotional, his hands, he's shouting, he's screaming. Sometimes that can mellow out a little bit. Players can kind of get, oh, not this again.
Yeah.
You can kind of see him. When I'm doing the commentary, I can see it's brilliant when you're doing up there in the gantry, you can see both benches and what goes on. And sometimes if a player's not happy or not buying into what's going on, he's being left out and Devine's screaming at him, or he's getting emotional, not aggressively having a go at him, but just trying to get him going. Sometimes that mellows out and you don't really bite at it as much, if you get me. So it's interesting the way they started on a house on fire, and then they slowly, gradually just start going down the hill a little bit. And that's the way the season's gone. Whether that's, I don't know, but that's just a small opinion on the way it's going.
Yeah, I think a lot of people set that up in there. You're like, you gradually get them going at the start, he's a motivator, but it's just seeing the candle burns out towards the longer it goes on. I suppose if you can get us up one more fucking time on November 12th, we'll be more than happy. But I think there's even still talks if Devine does win the cup. Can you depart with a man that's just won the first trophy in 15 years? Do you say give him 10, 15 games at the start of the next season? Because being realistic, coming six just isn't good enough. What the money you've had to spend, and it's more and so the position we're in and the expectation we had. Like, nobody expected us to win the league back in April. Nobody expected us to come sixth either.
Yeah, no, from my opinion, I'd keep, that's going against a lot of people's opinion, but as you said, like, he came in three games to go last year. It was an awful lot of players. That's what Keith panicked by, you could say, last summer, and they're on 2 or 3 year contracts. Is Devine going to get rid of some of them? He's obviously going to bring these new players. So it's stuff like that. And then Pat came in late, I think, didn't he?
He came in only, I think, a couple of weeks before the season
started. So stuff like that people don't see. They just see tunnel vision. They see what's going on the pitch, and they're able to, they're going on Twitter, they're shouting abuse.
I think this is a big it's a post-COVID thing, I think. I think football fans didn't, you know, after a match you went to a bar and you gave out. I think since COVID, a lot of it is more online, and, you know, people rush to the phone straight away after a match. They got up cunt at times as well, like, as you probably fucking see.
Yeah,
I'm never on to chase a manager out the door, like, fucking at the first opportunity. That's Premier League fucking carry on.
Yeah, it is. But, they're entitled. They play the membership. They play. They're entitled to it, like. But it's whether you buy into it or not as the staff or the board, or I don't. Some of them might, some of them will. But it's interesting to see what happens. But as I said, that's just my opinion. I'd let them have another go.
Yeah,
And that's before the cup final. And I'm saying, if the cup final goes either way, obviously the big thing is, it's a big, big decision if they don't get Europe. Where Bowls are now and stuff going on off the pitch, the fans sell out every week. Europe is massive, absolutely massive.
Yeah, I think it would be killer to see Shells getting it, and us, you know, fucking after all the hard work we've done this year, to literally slip out of it with one game to go and be out running. You're fourth. Minimum fourth basically for the whole season, and then one game to go, you're out fourth and you actually can't even come fourth anymore.
Boy, I'd be confident enough going into the cup final. We're obviously going off a little bit of topic here, but the cup final, I'd be confident going in against Pats. I've watched every game this year we've played them in, twice out there. I was at two of them and played them off the park, and I thought it was the best Bowls played against Pats just recently. Got beat 2-0 for 60 minutes. That was the best Bowls play. It should have been 2 or 3-0.
Yeah, definitely. I think Adam McDonald had a couple of chances to see.
And it's fine margin now. Come the cup final, I don't, these odds go out the window. You know what I mean?
So even like even at the end of that, just got touching on the Dundalk game we were just talking about there before we came on record, and I wasn't there, I think it was in the off license by this stage. The players basically stood back 5 minutes. I think there was the Dundalk fucking young fellas on the pitch celebrating whatever we were celebrating, but for the best part of 5 minutes, the management staff and the players just stood there for fucking 5 minutes and took the vitriol abuse.
It's been a while since it's been like that, I suppose. You're obviously a lot of new fans have come in. An awful lot of new fans have come in the last two or three seasons. You're talking back to Gareth Farley days, Sean Connor, since the last time that happened, you know what I mean? Like, in between that, it's been okay. Obviously, the budget and stuff wasn't as big as it is now, and I think that could be a little kick up the arse for the fans, and maybe the Vine wanted that, something like that to happen.
Because like, you can take it for 30 seconds and walk away, but like it looks like they were, the Vine was like, we're standing here and taking this.
Like you'd see, I seen a picture, obviously, I had a game Friday, wasn't it? But you could see the Vine standing at the front of the boys and taking it. And rightly so, they weren't good enough. They know themselves, and it's good that they've noticed that. And they just, there was times, I think, out in Tala this year where the Vine didn't even go out to the fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And I don't like that sort of things. If you're clapping when you win, you should clap when you lose, yeah, you know?
I agree with that. Even, I think that was the beginning and the end of Long as well. I think a lot of times when results were going against Long, you just straight down the tunnel.
I always give time to the fans, no matter what way it goes, you know?
100%. That probably never happened to you as a ball player. Like I said, it was different times, you know, none of you played for a fucking red cent. Maybe Quigley when he came in that time, but he would have been the only one. The rest of us were all pretty much, and you know, whatever you just gave, we knew you just gave 100%. But what could you imagine it's like as a player, you know? You've had this great start. You're currently now fucking out with what your objective was at the start of the season. Fans are spitting at you, such a. Do you take it on the chin? Was ever something you came on? How would you, like, what have you got? What I worried about was you have a cup final in 2 weeks' time. And I just wondered, how does that knock the players' confidence?
Jordan, I'll tell you what, we wouldn't have got the fans if that happened. I remember many a times. I think it was actually up in the dog. There was a spat up there. But, you had this Shane Subble, Derek Penders, Ian Morris. They'd let you know before the fans knew. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And we spoke about it already. Is there a play in the dressing room that will do that? I don't think so.
Well, there is. He's
obviously, Derek Penders, Derek's in the dressing room now as a coach. Can he drill them as much as he did as a player? I don't know.
Yeah, that's as a coach. Can he really fucking take them aside in his own? And will it have the same effect? Like, there's only a handful of players you would have played with.
You're talking like a sub, he'd grab you by the throat, or he's not saying he'd done that, but that's what he'd do when he'd let you know, and it would put fear into you. And yeah, that's kind of, is Declan Devine standing in front of them fans to get a reaction out of the players to realise what it means, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we weren't the best players, but we always knew what it meant to play by bows, and the dressing room was brilliant, and we always gave what we had, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think maybe come across over quick, because our players say, you know, do give a fuck about Bowles, you know, fucking Paddy, Bowles man, Talbot, Bowles man, Dylan Connolly's not far off himself, you know, I think he was played with, but he would have been in the underage, would you go?
Yeah, I think he was at Shells when I was there, he was at the younger age, I think 19s, yeah.
Yeah, so like that, there is fucking Bowles blood in the fan, but again, Talbot, you know, he roars like fucking, he gives out, but he speaks as much fucking English as probably two last playing centre back at times. Like,
yeah.
Be the man in the dressing room. Someone has to deal with it. Like, actually, with Booker's probably going to be gone for a year, if not for good.
Booker, you know, the way Booker's attitude is, he's 100% going to be back. He's one of the best pros I've ever played with, on and off the pitch. He'll be back. He'll be back fitter and stronger than he ever was, I'd say. But as you said, Paddy Kirk steps up. He's been in the dressing room with good players. Played full-time football last season, this season. So he could be a leader. He's been around the league a bit. The Flores, you're looking at that. Who to look at? Adam McDonald as well.
McDonald maybe, fucking.
But are these boys that are going to grab someone by the throat in the dressing room and say, here, fucking buckle up, yeah, you know that kind of way?
Is this still even in football anymore?
Yeah, are you allowed? Look at the Irish manager there. Pulled someone by the shoulder or something. She's
fucking
the worst thing in.
The worst thing in the world, yeah. So she's, like, that crop of players has nearly died out. The debtors and it's really a dying breed. Even you look across the league now, who would even do it? Like Bulger, maybe. But that's just the way it's been. And it's been a fucking grim and miserable couple of weeks supporting Bowers. As you said, we're confident enough going towards the cup final, but we're probably touching a bit later. But we'll go back to the start with yourself, Dano, and how you managed to get into the big club. Obviously, since you're a nubbin, you're supporting Bowers.
Yeah, I think it's about 10 or 11. It's obviously the area, Kilbarrick, there's a good few Bowes fans in the area. I think my first game was Rosenborg in the Connacht tent. Full sold out the amount. I can't remember, I think we drew 0-0 or something, or beat 1-0. Can't really remember it, but my brother played for Bowes when I think it was the reserves, so he never really went anywhere, but he played when he's 42 now or 41, I think. But he played, and then he was going to the games with the lads. They would have been a bit older than him, but they had a group. They'd meet in the Foxhound, 5 o'clock, and then we'd all head in. But my best mate, Aaron, his auntie Lisa now, she still goes to the States. She's always gone. And she used to bring us in every week. I used to go in, my brother go on the piss. And she'd bring me home or something like that. But I'd always go. Ever since then, like, I'd be going, there'd be 20, 30 fans there, some came short of like the way it's... Every Friday night, I'd be in the Edmont, home and away. So I started about 10 or 11.
And suppose even then, as a fan, if you would have been, what age are you now, 28?
30. Cheers, Sean, I'll take that. Cheers, lad.
A couple of years older than me, so I suppose you would have been probably just a little bit too young to maybe enjoy the glory times.
That's what I was trying to think of players, maybe I would have been to Ken O'Man. So I think it was Kevin Hunt first year when I started following Bowes. He actually came and done a presentation with Kilbarrick United, and I remember him. I was following Bowes at the time, and his car pulled up in the car park. I started chasing his car when he pulled up. still have the picture in my head, I'll never forget it. But he was, that was the first year I think I started when Kevin Hunt signed.
Yeah, and Bowes, where do you want to
that was 2002 or 2003, maybe.
2001, yeah, or 99, mate. Not too sure.
No, it was 2003, maybe. Was it?
Was that like? No, it would have been 10 years.
No, I would have been.
Oh, you would have been. Sorry. I suppose even then, Pat Fennin came over in the 2007-2008.
DRDS, was it?
Yeah, we won the cup there. And what age were you being then?
I remember going to that now. I did. I remember falling down the stairs. What age would have been? 7,
14, 15 maybe? 14, 15. So again, you're probably just a bit too young to appreciate it.
Yeah.
As you probably would now if you won something.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I used to love the old days. Sure, I'm not even messing. Maybe I'm a bit older and grumpier now, but I used to love the days where there was no fans there and you'd be going. Yeah.
Same for yourself.
you knew all the same faces and you'd be standing up in the stairs in Block G, and it was brilliant.
Same lunatics were on, you could hear them.
Yeah, well, some of them are still there now. It's good.
Yeah, and I suppose, did you ever get away to any of those European games over those
Yeah,
those
it was in the Sunny Rail. There was about 1,100 Bowes fans over there. That was... I was only young again. What year was that?
2010.
Because I remember I was stuck in the hotel room. Me and my mate were stuck in. They were all gone out. But yeah, jeez, I'll never forget that. That was mad. I think there's a video online. Who was the old Bowes fan? Spain, was it? We used to...
The small body.
Used to lift him up. Yeah. Used to lift him up every game, yeah.
Think Spain listens in, actually. He's in New York.
Yeah, we'll give him a shout out. We used to always lift him up. That was... Where else did I go? Just can't think of anywhere else. Oh, I used to go, I was in all the away games then. He did Longford in the cup final. Derry the cup final. Then the Cork's away as well, yeah.
Oh, those good toys back then.
Oh, it's weird, like, do you remember Dominic Foley scoring a hat-trick? There was all weird things coming back to me.
That was before my time. It was only 2010.
2010, yes.
Would have went sporadically during the noughties. It could have been a handful of games a year. Yeah, but then got into a proper, it was about 14, 15.
Yeah, that's why, because I met in Kilbarrick, there was no real way. We used to get the train to Colony and walk up there. It was a bit when I got a little bit older. But then I started playing, I think I was 17 when I signed for the 19s team. So, like, I was 15. Like,
How did that come about then, you signing for the 19s?
I was at Belvo. Do you know, I actually had a trial when I was under 15s at Belvo. And I went up to those are full-time at the time. You had the Crows, the Joey and Doe's, the Gravy Train time. When all the Hawks were there and Graham Carey and my Belvo manager Ray McCann at the time, he managed to get me a week trial. Well, he said it was a trial. I was saying it was a trial, but I went in training with him for a week, and he knew how much of a big of a Bowes fan I was, and training up in actually DCU at the time. And I was going in as a new kid, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I was going in training with all these that I'd follow every week. Like, I never followed an English club.
Yeah.
Just Bowes, and still to this day, it's still the same. Same with two kids now, they don't follow an English club. And I remember the drug testers were in, this little things.
And, bit different there now, drug pushes and drug testers.
Big difference, all right. But I remember they were singing, "What do we want pushers out?" But little things like that, yeah, you remember, you know what I mean? And the players fighting amongst each other, and Liam O'Brien, the coach, having a go at players, and Nutsy was the gaffer at the time. And I remember I was at the bus stop outside, I was waiting on my dad, they picked me up. And Joey and Dolby, he was always quiet. He wasn't the loudest in the group, you know, from just what I remember.
Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting at the bus stop outside, and I'm waiting on my dad to pick me up, and Joey pulls up in the car, rolls down his window. He said, "Do you want the lift? Where are you going?" My dad said, "Ah, no, my dad's coming to get me." But stuff like that, you remember, yeah, it's weird. Like,
it's fucking gas.
And then I was in the car, we used to go and swim across the road. So you'd be trying DCU and you go swim across the road. And I think I was in the car with Graham Carey, Jason McGuinness, Ken O'Man. And you're like, "These are all my idols," you know, like, but it was, yeah, weird. Like, but yeah, I was at Home Farm. And there was a few Pats. I think, what's his name? Pete McMahon.
He was trying
to sign me for Pats, and obviously I was like, "I'm not going anywhere." And I was playing Gaelic for Rahini at the time, and I was really good at that. I was on Brian Fenton's team, the likes of them. We had a really good guy team. I was on the Dublin Minor panel, and my dad was big into the Gaelic, so Bowes were asking me playing 19, and I had to choose then. And I says, "Dad, there's only one option." He says, Dad, don't trust me." He said, "They'll look after the job, they get a job, this and that." I says, "Dad, no, I'm Bowes, that's it, done." So I ended up signing for Bowes, and I think his name with the reserves at the time, there was a reserve league at the time.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah,
maybe was around that time, and I was only just starting 19, so I was in, and there was some lads, Matt Doherty would have been there, and the Gary Borgs, Bucko.
Did you play with him at Bevo?
Gary Borg?
Matt Doherty.
No, he was a year ahead, I think.
Was he?
But he was in the Bowes reserves at the time, them likes of players. Then I went in, we had a really good 19s team, Harry was the manager, and Aaron was the first thing gaffer at the time, and Pat was the manager. And just from there on then, and I was done really well as the captain of the Bowes 19s at, I think, some games or whatever way it went, and I get into the first team, and as you do when you're a schoolboy coming in, you travel all around the country sitting in stands, cold nights, and I still to this day I think this is unbelievable. Then I eventually bit the bullet. I think I don't know when I left. I can't remember leaving. Anyways, I went back to Kilbarrick, and my dad said, "Me, you'll never get back to League of Ireland." So proved them wrong anyways. And like that, my dad didn't speak to me for a year when I chose this one. After I went back, because I chose over the Gaelic. So stuff like that. It drew me on to prove people wrong, and I went on to do what I'd done. I didn't do much in the game, but done what the best of my ability, in my opinion. But like that, I signed for Kilbarrick then, and I had the best year of my life. I was playing with lads, I was 19 at the time, I think, and I was playing right full, loved it. And we done really well that year with Kilbarrick as a team as well. Then I ended up actually getting onto the AUL panel for the semi-final of the trophy they play, I'm not sure the name. Didn't play the semi-final, then I ended up playing the final. And done really well, got man the match, I think, and we won. And I ended up getting a trial for Bradford. Don't know how it came about, but end up getting a trial for Bradford, training with them up in, can't think of the name, Knightsbrook or somewhere, up training.
They were training over here?
Yeah, for a week. So I was in with them. We'd go in the morning and I'd stay up in the hotel then they were staying in, and we ended up playing a friendly against Athlone and Bowes. So I played against Bowes and friendly for Bradford, and here he was the gaffer at the time, and I ended up getting a move back to Bowes. Then I haven't looked back since.
No, the back of it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Callaghan probably being the manager then when you sort of started to break into the force there.
Yeah, that was when I was in the 19s. Maybe I think Pat or whatever, it was kind of on the money went away from it.
I think Pat went to Hibernian that year.
And then Bowes went in the shit.
Bowes went into
the gutter. Yeah, so I went in then, and Aaron must had about 40 players up, and there was nearly two 11s. We'd use the train over to South Side, somewhere, I can't think of the name, South Dublin football, whatever it was, and there'd be two the team over this end of the team, like, and you're thinking to yourself, is this one team? Like, and I didn't play that much, and then I joined Kilbarrick then, and I ended up getting back milled then, and I haven't looked back.
Yeah, and then it's probably under Harry then.
Yeah, so that's how we spoke about already about Ryan. I can't remember, it wasn't my debut, I don't know what it was. And I remember Harry rang me, it must have been about 2 or 3 o'clock. Because we used to name the team on the Thursday night before the game. And he named me, he said, I'm going to put you in Middle Park, Ryan's sick. He says, you're going to be on free kicks and corners and this and that. I was like, what the hell?
Would I see you take a free kick?
Yeah, that's what I remember. I was like, what the hell? And Davey Mull was playing Middle of the Park with me.
There's a player we could deal with now.
Oh, I'll tell you what, one of the best. I'll tell you, that's 100%. That's a player you need now.
Yeah, definitely one of the first balls here,
yeah, yeah, unbelievably. And he's one of the nicest fellas you'd ever meet. So with Dave, me and Dave Mulcahy in the middle of the park, and I remember he was literally carrying me. Absolutely carry me around the pitch. Now you think he scored in that game, did he?
I think he might have scored ahead of
After
he carried us through the season,
after about 10 minutes he scored, and I remember we just sat back.
That was against Rovers.
Yeah, that was against Rovers.
What's it like then as a fan? We get on to your goal obviously in the world, but what was it like as a fan you're winning up against Rovers?
Yeah, like as I said, there's a few fans around Kilbarrick and you'd be on around and you'd be like, it's just, and it was like a blow, Jordan, I swear to God, it was like an all, I didn't suck it in as much as I should have, like, to think that I was a fan since I was 10 or 11. I remember saying to my friend Aaron, we're up and I'm going to play by balls. One of us would. Aaron was a good footballer. I'm playing with him now at Kilbarrick. But, like, we said we play for balls, we score against Rovers. And I went on to do it, you know what I mean? And that's, like, you see players playing now. It does, you say that, but for me, like, that means an awful lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if the player said, you only scored against Rovers, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. I suppose then, obviously, Harry fucked off, legged it almost down to Sligo, and what was it like then for yourself? I think you might have done your cruciate.
Yeah, sure, you know what, I could have been on the way to Sligo, because I had a really good season that year. I was playing really well. I think, remember, I done my ACL, and I think that's how I won player of the year that year, and he wanted to give it to me. I think I played about 18, 19 games, I was only a kid. Yeah, done my ACL against Cork. I think it was a replay. We played them on the Friday. They scored late in corner. And then we played them on the Monday. We ended up beating them, I think, as well. But
I think that's right, yeah, yeah.
We beat them 3-1.
There, wasn't it?
Yeah, they scored in the last minute. And Mark O'Sullivan, the ball went down the side of the pitch I got in front of. And he just nudged me and my leg got stuck. But I came back on. Didn't want to go off, obviously. And end up just crippling. And it was an absolute disaster then because it was 2 games left in the season. Oh, no, it was only a couple of games left in the season. And then got me surgery. In fairness to Keith, when he came in, he got the surgery short straight away. Harry gave me a contract when I'd done it, though. To be fair to Harry, yeah.
At Bowes or at Sligo?
At Bowes, before he left, he gave me a contract. That's because I was going to be out for a year or whatever. And then I ended up coming back. Obviously, got the surgery in September, came back. And I remember a captain was out, and if charity game or something out, and I can't remember where it was. And then in training, done my knee again. So I was out for the whole season basically. So I missed half it, nearly a quarter of the season, then the whole of next season. Then thank God Keith gave me another contract. He was really good to me. Didn't really see me play, but he knew what he had and whatever. And then the next season I played a bit then. I hit under Keith Long again. I think it was another 2 seasons after that, was it?
Yeah, and how involved were you though in terms of both have been training evens at the time, obviously, so how involved would you been? Would you still be on the training or would you be just at home recovery?
Yeah, it was more, you wouldn't be, see the way it is now, you're in, you have James there, it wasn't like that, Jordan, it was away from most of it, to be honest, like you'd obviously go in the games, you'd be in the odd training session and stuff, and it was tough, like you'd be there sitting in the stand watching, that's the hardest thing about being injured, it's watching the boys training and stuff. The games aren't as bad. Obviously, you want to play a part. Yeah, and
they're thinking I can do better than that country at the moment. Yeah,
you're watching the boys train and all, it's very hard. But it's part of football, isn't it? These things happen.
Yeah, I suppose. What was it like playing on that long? And then Crawley obviously comes along.
Yeah, I think it was Graham Hanlon was Keith's coach at the time. He was good, to be fair to him. Graham was good. He's a good lad as well. He looked after me. But Trevor came in. Trevor's a different level. He's not one of them, he is the best coach I've worked under. He didn't get as much notice or, what would you say?
Credit as such.
Now he does, like from players, obviously he gets a buff from the outside. That's the way Trevor is, he doesn't want all these plaudits from the outside, but some of the stuff, his standards and his mentality is brilliant. Now that I can't take it away, and Keith, he obviously
knows what he's doing.
He didn't know, yeah, but he wouldn't have done as much coaching. He is a good coach as well, but he's more tackling and man management. He was good. Yes, Trevor's quality.
Yeah, and then I suppose you're going into 2017, 2018, and we'll probably touch on that famous night out on Tala, the Daryl Lee, you know?
Yeah, that's what probably ruined me, Jordan. That's made me and ruined me because, as you said, like, that was my dream. And I just, people might think, what's he talking about?
Which means more to you, though, the tackle or the goal? Because yeah, I know, like, people talk more about it and it's not the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. you get texts, oh, that tackle, this. So did you not see me go? Remember Brian Kerr said, what was he even doing up there?
I was actually, a volley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a volley. Sorry, I don't score many and score. It was some of my head there, but I don't even know what I was doing. I think it's coming off because I was cramping up or something. I was by the middle of the park. And I just got, I don't know what, how or why. I just seen Dylan Watts get the ball and I made a run for it. The rest.
Oh, you remember that game? Because for one reason or another, we actually went loud into the ground that day. We got sent back to Frisbee on the old Lewis.
Because I remember when I scored, there was all trouble in the, and the fans, you could, and I'm looking over, I was like, I know all them, they're all causing trouble at the race score.
We were denied entry into the fucking ground before that even happened, but yeah, it was probably those idiots' own fault. In fairness, there was that many at the time, but I remember watching the game back in the pub at the time, I was thinking, we fucking played unbelievable. Watts was excellent that day.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking, that was probably the day Rovers wanted to sign him.
That's, Dylan was unbelievable, some player that, but yeah, I remember going back to the Foxhound after. And I walked in, as I like Conor McGregor walking in, the whole place just erupted. All the lads were in there, it was brilliant. But
it was on Air Sport as well at the time, wasn't it?
There was one of them, I was on, yeah, live, because they were watching interviews at my local, so.
Yeah, and I suppose we'll probably just touch back on that tackle there. So when the tackle was made, did you think at any point, oh, bollocks?
No. That's the game, isn't it? Like, you don't get away. I made a tackle actually Friday night. Probably is worse than that, Jordan, but I didn't really take much notice of it. As you said, the ball came for us and then the player, but that part of that game, you kind of got away with it back then. You don't get away with it.
Well, probably in that game, you probably get away with it.
Yeah, probably not, because I remember talking to Rob Harvey, I think it was 2 or 3 years, a while after, and he was like, he was the ref at the time, I think. Yeah. He done the ref, but it was coming up in
referees. No, him in the league of world, anyway.
It was coming up in referees' meetings and conferences and. Was this, should this have been a foul? And you're like, what the hell? You know what I mean?
It's either not a foul or it's a red card,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's
exactly.
It's not a yellow,
And
suppose you obviously got the goal then, and then the ecstasy of the 99th minute, Darryl Lee pops up with the winner.
Yeah, I think I didn't come off. I came off because I think it was on a yellow or something after that, after I scored. But I remember running down the sideline when Darryl scored. It was unbelievable, yeah.
We all went sent home packing. Suppose then, finishing up a boss, how did that come about? I imagine it was quite difficult for you to, not sure it was probably out of your hands at the time.
Yeah, look, so I remember Morrow, Ian Morris and Dan Casey were playing centre half at the time, and they were, I think we went on a big run, remember, if you remember.
Won 11 games in a row or something.
Yeah, and I wasn't getting a sniff.
I still didn't get you up that year.
Yeah, and then I think we got to the Cup of Semi-Final as well. That's right, yeah. So that was the replay, was it? Did we get done the replay?
The Cork game, yeah.
And I just wasn't getting a sniff, and I was gradually getting, wasn't not getting along with Keith, and stuff were happening off the pitch, and I spoke to Derek. I was really close with Dets the whole way through. He looked at me so well, and then I obviously went in. Subbo was gone. Subbo called his time early that season. Yeah,
right. Very hard one to read that one. That,
yeah,
that's signing off.
Yeah, and then yes, Dan Casey left. I think then Ian Morris left, and I think there was one other. And they were all defenders. Then Keith, I think I made my decision or whatever, and Morrow was on, got the job, the Shells job out of nowhere. And he said he was the one, was the first player he rang, and Keith was on to me to try keep me back. And I was being the debts of then, and what I should do. And I didn't know what to do. And obviously, you were offered a 2-year contract. You didn't get 2-year contracts then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I thought it was an opportunity then to play. I'd be playing every week in the fourth division, and I'd get a chance, get a good run at myself. And East Morrow was obviously, the money went in at Shelbourne, and he was getting a good squad together, so you'd have a good chance of winning the league. So with that, I'd done it. And do I regret it? Maybe, yeah, because you look at the next season after that, then during the Viva, wasn't it? Could have been there, thereabouts.
It wasn't far off. No, you got beaten by Rovers, haven't you, in semi-final.
So, stuff like that, then you regret, but that's football, Jordy, you know what I mean? It happens, but...
I had
an absolute disaster when I signed early enough for Shell to agree to the contract, and I remember it was 2 weeks before Christmas or something. We were in Stevens' day for pre-season Shells, and I was down training with Kabarik, and went in and broke me foot, got tackled and broke me foot. Went to Beaumont, came out of Beaumont, had to ring Ian Morris, tell him what happened, tell him the truth. I was training with Kabarik, trying to keep fit, blah, blah, blah. And I was an absolute disaster. I was out for the whole season. I think I played 6 games or something like that.
That season as well. When Ian Morris left, completely off topic here now, but do you think he was mad packing it in just to take the manager's job as Shells?
Yeah, 100%. Because he was unbelievable that year. I thought playing
Sorry,
Abbey,
he was, like,
yeah,
he was
absolutely, and his standards around the dressing room, standards in training, he was a big character, like, and his CVs in England is unbelievable. But he probably looks at himself and says that, because what is he doing now? He's a really good coach, like, he's detail and everything, his time he puts into the game. I see it because I used to room him, but he used to be. I think we big games up in Derry. You didn't really do that. Stay overnight, suppose, when I was there. But remember, I think there was 2 or 3 times. I think we were in Scotland as well, weren't we?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. The magical fucking celestial cup.
Yeah, one of them. Whatever. There was 3 different names.
Chocolate cup.
Yeah. So, but like, you'd be in the room with him, and he'd be doing coaching stuff, and you know what I mean. These details, the planning is unbelievable, and. I'd say he regrets it. Didn't play another year or two, maybe even. Now, he's the odd injury here and there. He wouldn't train Tuesdays and stuff because of injuries, but his character around dressing room, even, and his standard even in training, even on the pitch, as you said, that they went 11-game unbeaten there, and he was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I suppose we'll touch back on the squad there, and a couple of leaders. What was it like playing on that debt to his captain?
Scary man. He wouldn't speak that much, but it's just his character, that townie mentality in them.
Yeah.
There wasn't one player that walked in that dressing room that didn't respect Detter, you know what I mean? And you obviously have the Shane Supples as well. He's a bit more vocal, aggressive towards you, like, and he
Supples a lovely man, I didn't expect that now.
Absolutely lovely man, but as his standards were so high, he could do both, and he kept everybody on the level that he wanted them at, you know.
Yeah. And then you wrapped up there, as you said, you went to Shells, and then I think you had a mysterious injury the week of the FAI Cup game.
Yeah, I was actually gutted, Jordo, and I had a bad groin injury. It was actually a pubis one, and it's hard to diagnose it, and I was out for a while, but they couldn't diagnose it properly, and when I was coming back, and then it was at me again, and I think it was actually the day of the game. I was starting, and it got too bad or something happened anyways, I pulled out. But I was actually up in the stand, Jordo, and remember we went to 2-0 up or something, and there was a balls fan, so we were sitting down just above the tunnel there, and I celebrated when we got the second one. I think it was Shane Farrell scored it.
Could have been, yeah, that's what we put in top corner.
And then when we got the balls 1-3-2, I tell you what, must have been about 20 balls fans absolutely hammering me. I didn't know what to do, I would put my hood up and just shrug it. Never forget it.
Yeah, I suppose you were half happy anyway.
How was
I'll touch on that too. How was your emotions then towards, you're in a different league at the time. How was your emotions towards, like, say, Bowles when you're playing with Shells, even when you're not?
When I was at Shells, it was all Shells. I'm not gonna lie about it. I was signed for Shells. It was,
yeah.
If I was playing against Bowles, I wanted to beat Bowles, you know what I mean? I think playing against, it was through COVID then when I was at Shell, so
yeah.
You wouldn't get as many fans. I think I got a pen on Rob Cornwall. I think we finished 1-1. But then there was another one, Danny Grant's hat-trick. I was playing that game and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I suppose you went to Shells, went up down into the north.
Yeah, that's we obviously got beaten in the playoffs at Shells, Longford Beatles, and we got relegated then from the Premier Division. I was agreed a deal before the actual playoff because I was playing really well that year. We were playing the Premier League and I was playing week in, week out, doing really well. And we should never have got where what happened. We just proper slid down the hill big time. last 6 or 7 games, we were easily, I think we need 1 point or something, we just couldn't get it. And
Finn Harps had a bit of a run too.
Yeah, and then I think I didn't get in the last few games towards the end of the season, and there was a few Dublin lads up north. I think Ryan Swan was onto me. So, do you know what, actually, I think I might actually, the money was really good and the lads up there were good, and it was a different thing. It wasn't as much, not intense training. It was only...
Got your summers back?
Yeah, got my summers back, time with the kids then as well. And you're training Tuesday, Thursday. Obviously, I was nearly 27, 28. I wasn't going to make anywhere in the game. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't have went anywhere, you know what I mean? But I think it was time that the little fellow was signed for it. Start concentrating on his football kind of thing, so I had to put a time to him, and I couldn't put time to commit myself to another team, so I went up there. Now they're good. I liked up there, and I don't regret not doing it any time. I enjoyed it up there.
Yeah, I suppose you're back playing with the local circle Barrack now. Any plans for coaching or?
Yeah, Craig Sexton was on to me towards the start of the year to maybe look at it. Like, I'm only 30 now, so obviously I'm 2 kids now. One Scotty signed for Home Farm, so it's a lot of time to commit there, and then you're training. And I'm still committed the way I was playing for Bowles or Shells, or one point the way I am now with Kabarak. Like, the mentality's really high there, and the standard's not too far off, like maybe the Northern League, but there's still some really good players there. So yeah. I'm enjoying my time so far, so good. We started off well. Obviously, it's only about 7 or 8 games in, but really enjoying it. It's good because the kids get to go watch me dad. They have to go around and watch me dad. Actually, you only watch one Bowls game.
No way.
Yeah.
What was the Rovers.
What's it?
The Rovers match, was it?
The Rovers match, yeah. He actually sat in the Connacht. It was closed, the Connacht. And I don't know how he got there. And he sat over there in his own. And I thought, that's the only one game he watched, I think. That's he used to read the newspaper the rest of the day, and they ring you. Oh, you don't know, right, last night, did you? I said, don't mind them newspapers, that. But it was weird, like... My mom watches, like, she'd have a big interest in it, but they never actually went and watched the game. It's weird.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise. I think I remember Dester said it all, because his wife had been at any games at all.
Yeah, his wife Jennifer, like, yeah, she wouldn't go often either.
Yeah, so she never went. I think even the kids' first game was his last game, like, that's what I think that was mentioned. But no, some people, it's mad how families just don't get involved. That's fair enough, like, each of their own.
It's weird, it? Like, it is, like, my man, they're old school, you know what I mean? You see some parents there. Yeah. Oh, my son, my mum and dad were never like that. Like,
yeah. And I suppose you probably wouldn't watch a board of the matches, would you?
Oh, my board?
Yeah.
Ah, she's been there. Yeah, yeah, she would have been going. My sister was a big Bowls fan. Well, because I was playing, but she'd go. She'd go most of the games, obviously, with the kids. We have the second one now. She wouldn't go as much, but she used to go every week, yeah, home and away.
Yeah, I forgot your sister's a big Bowls fan as well. Yeah.
Ah, she's spilled.
She's
going out with a Shells fan now, George. She's been the one
of the boys in the family, so.
She's putting up things on this. Well, I can't wait for the good final.
Any kids there, you know, fucking make sure you get the Bowls jersey enforced anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
We'll talk about the upcoming Cork game. Fucking flat and dead rubber now at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah.
But important, we win and get confidence.
Yeah, you're looking, I don't know, what way is the table there? It's 57-55, isn't it?
2 points behind Shells. But 5 or 6 goals behind the goal. 5 goals, 6 goals behind the goal difference.
But Dundalk can do Shells, no?
They have to win 6-0, I think.
Oh, was it? So it's in...
They've got...
Shells just need a draw.
Basically, Shells draw would mean either Bowles and Dundalk have to win by a cricket score.
Yeah, it's terrible that it's come to that. I shouldn't, like... I done the commentary on the Bowles and Shells game there 3 weeks ago. And you're looking... You get the point, and you're saying, yeah, you take that. You would have took that beforehand. And then you're going into the... What was the game after that on the Friday? It was
Pats?
No, it wasn't. Was it? No. Pats was the following week.
UCD was a Thursday.
Yeah, UCD. And then you obviously beat them, and then...
Beat either Pats or Dundalk.
Dundalk, yeah. And especially Dundalk, the way they're being all the... Well, I think Dundalk beat us up there already this year.
No.
No?
2 wins and a draw.
Oh, was it? But you fancy yourselves with all the stuff
going on.
Yeah,
the shit that went down during the week and all, like...
And then you get steamrolled, absolutely steamrolled, basically 2-0 and
never let it love them.
Yeah, so you keep going, is it a dead rubber? You'd like to see a bit of atmosphere going in. I questioned the atmosphere already, Jordan, this year on the commentary. You didn't hear that one, but I think the atmosphere's been poor this year. You had times obviously it's been good, the displays have been good from the NBB and stuff, but obviously you had the the A and the G and the boys.
Semi resolved now.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what sort of atmosphere you create on Friday. Obviously, you want the big going into the game, the cup final. I think realistically, the only chance of Europe is the cup final. So all eyes should be, Cian Bourne's got to play Friday.
Do you play a full team Friday? Do you rest a couple of heads? Did you want that flabby to get the lads a few quid in?
But Jordo, is there starting 11? Is there lads that are nailed on? Name a player that's nailed on to play.
I think Bucco's injury has tied a lot of hands in positions. I think Barrett now has to play right back.
Yeah, well, Barrett's actually done really well since he's come on. He came on that Shells game at half time. I think he changed the game. He was brilliant that night. But there's no other player that Johnny has to play. He hasn't been good enough.
Yeah.
But he has to play.
You'd imagine Conley will probably hold his position.
His attitude has been good.
I think big question is for the final, is it Coote or Grant on the left? Personally, I think it's going to be Coote. From what I gather, Coote's more or less signed for your team post-season.
But then you're looking at as well, does Shane Clark play deeper? Does he play higher up? And does he play beside Adam in the middle?
I think you have to, space and time on that pitch he's going to get.
Yeah.
I think past probably weaker points is probably nearly defensively in the whole midfield. I watched that Cork game, and Cork were walking through them at stages.
Yeah.
Even those times when we walked through them at fucking stages a couple of weeks ago, and you're thinking of Gavin McDonald playing holding midfield.
He was on the edge of the box,
times like that where you just fucking take a chance, and you do that, and it's a different game, and it's a different league table.
Yeah.
And we're also thinking then, we're all looking at the final and going, geez, if we had to beat Pats, would you fancy beating them twice in a row then on the space for a couple of weeks?
As you said, realistically, it's a saying now, isn't it, that goes out the window, all them, the league doesn't matter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But do you want to get out and hammer Cork on Friday and get 4 or 5 goals and have a little buzz about you going into the cup final and a bit of confidence? Do you might need that? Does he go that way? Does he play boys that haven't been playing? Might get a chance of starting 11 in the cup final. Like I said, John O'Sullivan, Chris Twardek.
It looks like he's nearly washed his hands at all.
Who else is there? McDade, he's hit and miss. He hasn't got a really good run at it, has he? He's done well when he's come on at times.
Then when he starts, he doesn't produce.
It'd be interesting to see which way he goes Friday, but I think it's a dead rubber, as you said. I'd like to see a good atmosphere, maybe just to get the boys a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah,
they had that rail on Friday after the game.
I think a post match is important just to fucking give them a bit of a rail.
It's the last game of the season as well. I remember all over the years, they've always been a good buzz. You get on the pitch after the player, the kids get to meet the players. You wouldn't like to see a bad atmosphere if you get me in all that kind of way.
Yeah, definitely. And get your prediction for Friday first.
I just said, and Cork as well. I don't know which. I'd say both win country, but. You have Keaton going for a top goal scorer, and you have them. Does he go on a full team? Because he's going to play in the playoff now, Cork City. So
I think he'll get minutes. So I think after that, won't be far behind him. I think they'll both get minutes.
Yeah.
Because both teams will pick a game the following week.
Yeah.
But it's how long each one of them get.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
That's what I think will happen there. And then we'll go to the Aviva Stadium in less than 13 days' time. It's that close.
Yeah, listen, the nerves settling in. That's all. Every day I just think about the Aviva now. And the big day out. For all your misery throughout the season, you deserve a day out at the end of the year.
We're not even looking forward to now after the last couple of weeks.
It could be
a good thing for the last cup final. I don't know if you're a part of that. I think we all then thought we had it won before our ball was kicked.
Yeah. I was actually ended up in Dalymount that night. That was very, that was hard to take, that last cup final now, but, I don't, which way to go, I don't know, Jordan.
That's what I said, maybe for the best, confidence is probably low on a fan point of view, but we're going to the final way. Look, when the whistle goes, I think whatever confidence you have, you'd be wanting to win the match, so I'm not sure how much it will change our mood after if we do lose. I'm starting to get a bit of a worry, I suppose, as a club turning to this nearly team.
Pats are really good. They've really good individual players as well. You know what I mean? The kids, the Redmonds, Sam Coors. I think Eamon Cardy up top is very good. He's in the under-21s now as well. They've really good players. You can't take that away from me. Pats are favourites for it, without a doubt. But as I said, it comes down to the game. I'd love to see Bowes do it. As you said, you don't get many cup finals. No. Remember Trevor used to always say, you've 10 goals at it. 10 good goals at win the league or win the cup. Bowes have only had 2 cup finals since
2008.
There you go. You know what I mean? Yeah, so like
another 10 years where you get them.
That's the way you look at it. And that, as a player thing as well, that's the way you look at it. Many players have played in the cup final on that team.
Yeah.
So
Conley, Flores, I think. Talbot's probably played in one.
You don't get many goals at it, so like you gotta be realistic about it and go have a put it all on the line.
And you put a score on the day. Put a score line on the cup final day.
Oh, going from the games this season, no, we go 2-1 Bowes.
I think if we score 4, so win it. Bit of a Michael Allen statement that now, what?
Yeah.
I think it's important we score. I think if we go behind, we worry about confidence.
Yeah,
and bollocks.
Leaders, and you're right there.
I think if we score 1, maybe that'll be.
Where's the mentality at then if we do go goal now?
Yeah, and I think you've said that pitch opens up a little bit bigger than most pitches. If you go 1 up and Pat's have to sit as pressed, Dylan Connie sits on the halfway line.
Yeah.
And then he takes one ball over the top against Anthony Resonant.
Yeah, 100%.
He could be in. So, I think I'm going to go 2-1 Bowes as well in the final. I think if we score 4, so win it. Fair for the life of me. Fair for me, fucking God. if we lose, cause fucking, I'll end up in Massey's the next morning. I'll be fucking losing another cup final. So we'll move on here now. Just we'll wrap up slowly and I'll ask you to name your 5-a-side team you played with.
Oof. Obviously Bowes, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously Shane Supple and goal. Derek in the team, obviously.
They only have to play in 5-a-sides.
No, 100%. I've not played many 5-a-sides in with you.
Extra goals being counted everywhere.
We go Keith Ward, 5-a-side player. Stephen Beattie.
Stephen Beattie, yeah. Jeez, I nearly forgot about him.
I tell you what, he was just some player for Bowes.
Yeah,
but he's really good at Bowes as well, Stephen Beattie. What's that?
4.
Oh, one more.
Who's your striker?
Oh, Dinny Corgan.
Man, I know he's right back in the net.
Oh, I tell you what a player.
Maybe to pick
one. Softest touch in the world.
Pick one player to go for a drink with, dead or alive. Who would it be?
Freedom from Stories, Gazza.
Gazza, not Beckham.
He wouldn't be my idol now, but just some of the stories I'd love to have a go at. Yeah.
Best player you played with?
Derek, obviously, Derek Buff. Give a shout out to him. Maybe Dave Mulcahy as well.
And I suppose, I know your favourite moment is obviously scoring.
Yeah, no, no.
What's your worst moment as well as player?
That Finn Harps game in the cup.
The 1-0.
Gave away the penalty.
4-3,
yeah.
Well, no, I think I blame Larkin for Jared for that.
We won't mention any names. Yeah, shouldn't have got to where I got to. But I was really sick for that. So I think it was last year, that year. Did he go one more year? No, he did go.
Did he? No.
He did go one more year, I think after that year.
I think the Rovers semi-final was...
But there was all the talk about deal for that.
Yeah.
And I think he scored that game as well.
That's right, he was in the pitch and celebrating, but fuck's sake.
But that was hard to take that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was another, I wouldn't mind. I think that we played them 2 weeks before in the league, and remember we came back. We got beaten again at that time. We got beaten 1-0 2 weeks before, and I remember fucking we were sitting in the back of the bus.
They were 3-1 up or something that game, were we?
We were 3-1 up, yeah, but fucking 10 minutes ago or something like that. And we remember we came back from the bus, and the first time we played them in the league 2 or 3 weeks previous, that's all it was. Remember, come back. Fucking beaten, we can never come back up here. As you do every time you come back up in the house, I'm never coming back up here again. Fuck this, fuck them, fuck everything. Davey Keogh, don't you worry, lads, we'll be back here in 2 weeks going for the coupe. Am I going to be up here in the coupe? I'm going to beat them. He was half right anyway, yeah. Davey Keogh was.
Still going to this day.
And we're still going to Finn Harps at every fucking grim opportunity. So that's the lowest moment of Bowes. And I'll just ask you before you wrap up then, what does Bowes mean to you?
Everything, Jordan's that's basically it. My whole life, me misses, the kids, everything's just Bowes. I know a lot of friends through Bowes, and everything since I'm 10 years of age has been Bowes. So, yeah, basically that.
Happy days. Fair play, you don't know. Thanks for coming in today.
Pleasure, Jordan. Thank you.
And I suppose that's the last episode. And look forward to seeing everyone at the live show. I think tickets sold out in 5 or 6 minutes there. And Anyway, Dano, if we do every week, come on the fucking balls.
Come on the balls.